All right, turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. We'll begin reading in verse 40. Luke, chapter 8, and verse 40. And the scripture reads, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me.' And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments on Jesus makes the difference. Let's pray. Father, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I beg you again this morning for the filling of the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, you would take your word deep into every heart. Lord, for those that may be lost, please, Father, make the gospel plain to their hearts, their need for the Son of God, their need to be born again. May they come to Christ today, I pray. I know you'll receive them if they would. And, Father, I do pray for the saved. I pray you'd challenge our hearts about our responsibility and our walk before you, that we not be in the way of keeping people from coming to know you as Savior. God, have your way in every life, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're on the internet at all, I'm sure you get all kinds of advertisements and email, so much so that it would seem like that the goal of everybody in this country, the American dream, has become that you earn enough money to be able to do all the things that all the rich people are able to do. And that once you can aspire to that particular accomplishment and do all the things that you can possibly do, then you will have reached the American dream and you can be happy with life. Well, you would think that way, of course. Of course, people have tried to find a number of different ways to get pleasure or meaning out of life. Some do it in money. Some it's just trying to take part of every extreme thing they can possibly take part in. And you know, a lot of people have ruined their lives doing that. There are a lot of people in this country that are crippled for life because they're always looking for the next big thrill. And some look for it in rock and roll and music and drugs, and just ask people burning in hell today, like some of the former stars like Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and Elvis and people like that, who spent their life on the fame and forgot about their soul. Some in Far Eastern religions, some do it in pleasure, some in the out of doors, some in simply a multitude of sports. We have gone sports mad. And sports is no longer enough. Now, fantasy sports. I still haven't figured that out. I don't get it. Fantasy sports. Now, if you're in it, that's fine. I'm not preaching at you. I'm just saying, wow, this is amazing. It doesn't matter whether or not my favorite team wins, as long as my player does well. Some, of course, in sex and filthy books and movies. We live in a day where, with our openness about everything, it hasn't helped anything. And matter of fact, more divorces than ever before, more needs for pills than ever before. Psychiatrist offices are filled, as well as the doctor's offices. And we've got so many diseases that they never had before. I mean, before, it was just pay attention. Now, it's okay if you don't pay attention. You got ADD. Don't get mad at me now. It's too early to get mad at me yet. Suicide is the leading cause of death, of course, among the teenagers. And this group of teenagers has more things than any group of teenagers have ever had. They live in nicer homes than most all of us were brought up in. more expensive things, more expensive toys, all of that, and tell me they're satisfied. The reality is there is really only one answer to true fulfillment in life, and it is found in the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Kings. In the story that we read, we have a lady here who spent all that she had seeking a cure. That's how I know she had to be over 65. Because we spend all that we have made just seeking a cure for whatever the next thing is that ails us. Well, we really don't know how old she was, but Jesus was on his way at the request of the head of the synagogue. His daughter was dying, and he's on his way to see her, and this woman slips up, of course, in the crowd. She had had a great need as well. Isn't it interesting that no matter the cause, we never see Jesus in a hurry? There was a great need at Jairus' house, but he takes time out for this woman who has a need. She tried all the earthly doctors, and none of them could help her in spite of all the money that she had spent. I want you to notice some parallels here between this woman's situation and simply the situation of mankind seeking some kind of cure for the needs that he has in life. Number one, I want you to notice the woman's problem. In verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any." Her problem was a blood problem. Now, the Bible does not describe it any further than that. I've heard preachers give all kinds of descriptions on what it must have been. God just says it's a blood problem. And we know there are a lot of things that can be blood problems today. But you know, mankind has that problem all the way around. We are filled up with sinful blood, and that is a major problem. You say, "Well, preacher, I thought we were all children of God." No, we're the creation of God. But the truth is, until you get born again, you're a child of the devil. That's what Jesus said to the religious leaders in John chapter 8. "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth." No doubt that stung them. No wonder they wanted to put him to death. But we do have a sin problem. It runs in the veins of each one of us. There's got to be a cure for that. Is there some kind of cure for that? Well, thank God there is. But we have to understand that all of us have this very same problem. As the Bible declares, the imaginations of man's heart are only evil from his youth. Turn over to the book of Romans a moment. Romans chapter 3, a familiar passage of Scripture. But look at God's commentary on the need of mankind, on the problem of mankind. In Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, he declares, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." I've had people say to me when I was out of visitation, "Well, preacher, I'm just as good as those people that attend your church." You're right, they're not very good either. "There is none righteous, no, not one," we read on. He says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." That's a quote from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 20. There's none that doeth good. Then we go down to verses 22 and 23. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Notice that there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have the same problem. Over in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, the Bible declares, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In Romans 6:23, "And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We do have a blood problem, and it's a sinful blood problem. And there is a condemnation to that, and that is death and hell for eternity. Even our main organ is bad. Bible declares in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" No wonder the Bible also says it is a fool that trusteth in his own heart. We got a bad heart and we're trusting in our heart, the goodness of our heart, to somehow get us to heaven when God says there's nothing good there. And even our own flesh is corrupt. Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And he declares in Romans 8:8, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Yes, we've got a problem. She had a problem. Her problem was a blood problem, and we've got a blood problem. And here it is. It was incurable by man. She'd gone to every man doctor that she could find, and not one of those doctors could cure her problem. By the way, you can go to every pastor in the world. The pastor can't cure the problem. There's only one who can, and that's Jesus Christ. You can go into every church house, and every church house, they cannot cure the problem. Now, there are many that can show you the cure for the problem, but that cure is going to be in Jesus. It's got to be in Him, and in Him alone, He's the only one who can do it. Our own works can't save us. Isaiah 64, 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Brother Greg was just in the hospital with an infection in his leg. Now imagine after they did the surgery there on his leg, for them taking just some filthy rags that they got out of the hamper that had come from the different operating rooms and said, let's wrap it up with these. He'd still be there or at the funeral home one. Filthy rags is not going to take care of your problem. Filthy rags only adds to the problem. You see, that's just the way it is. Jesus Christ, as I said, is the only cure. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He makes it plain. He's the only way to the Father. You can't get to the Father by the preacher. You can't get to the Father by the church. You can't get to the Father by the baptistry. You can't get to the Father by the Pope. You can't get to the Father by Mary. You can't get to the Father by the saints. You can only get to the Father by Jesus Christ. He's it. The Bible declares there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's why he went to the cross of Calvary. He went to die for our sins. Isaiah put it this way. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. You see, it was a blood problem. It was a blood problem, and there was no hope in mankind, only in Jesus Christ. Secondly, she not only had a problem, notice her passion. For we go down here to verse 43 again, and it says, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She really wanted to be healed. You know, if you don't think there's something more important than money, just get badly sick. And suddenly, you don't care. Doc, just find something that'll make me well. I want to be well. I don't care how much it costs. Doc, just please, somehow, find something that'll make me well. Well, she'd gone to all the doctors. She'd spent all that she had. And she's still in the same condition that she's been in. I'd say this woman was serious about wanting to be healed. When she heard about Jesus, she came to him. She didn't go to the doctors of law. She didn't go to the Pharisees. She didn't turn to dead religion. She went to Jesus Christ. This is a smart woman, wasn't it? She's going to the right place. You see, it's one thing to have a need that you need taken care of. It's another thing to know where you can get that need taken care of. She went to Jesus Christ, and the Bible says all she did was just touch him. Just touch him. That's all that she did. In John 14, 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. People try so much. People drown themselves in booze. Seems like our society, it's either booze or drugs, one of the two, all the time. That's what people have to have. They think that somehow will make them forget their problems, and it only multiplies their problems. It only destroys their relationships, destroys their own integrity. They go to all those things that just don't help, and the matters are simply made worse. That was the problem in the home I was brought up in. It had everything to do with booze, everything to do with alcohol. That was it. And it didn't get better. It got worse, so that it ended up in divorce. My mom and dad divorced. Relationships were destroyed. Things were torn asunder, all because of liquor. And they thought that was the beginning of a good time, to end up only in disaster. People think money. They give up their lives, their wives, their family, all for money and no peace. They spend it working three or four jobs, getting a little bigger house, getting a nicer car, having the stuff that's really expensive. I can't imagine. I'll be honest with you, and I'm not preaching here on anybody that's got a nice car. God gave you a nice car. Bless your heart. I just know this. If I ever spend $40,000 on a vehicle, I'm living in it. Bro, I just can't imagine. Now, if you're making $30 million a year, I guess that's nothing. I guess that's a drop in the bucket. For a guy like me, though, I just don't understand it. But there are people that are working three jobs just to pay the bills of things that they don't really need. Just feel like they've got to have it. Now, I confess to you, I like American Pickers. The thing that amazes me, you see them walk into this place where they've done nothing but buy junk. I'm not talking about cheap junk. I mean, it was cheap perhaps when they bought it, but they're selling those pieces of junk. I mean, little pieces of rusted metal, bikes with no tires, half the bike gone, and they're spending $1,000 for it. Just the frame. And I'm thinking, these people have spent all their lives spending all this money on junk. And what's really amazing is the number of people that say, I don't want to sell that. I don't want to sell this. Don't want to sell that. It's junk. They've not put their money in the bank. They put their money in junk. People are nuts. Then there are some people, they think the answer is in solitude. I'll just buy me a little cabin up in a tree, up in Alaska. I'll find me a little place out where there are no people. There ought to be peace in that. The problem is you go out there in the wilderness and you may have peace for a few days, but as soon as that bear starts tearing apart that deer, gnawing on, I think peace is gone at that point. Don't you think it's gone? I mean, once Bigfoot knocks on your door, you better be careful. And then sports. We've gone sports nuts. We're passionate for sports. I can't believe how much money people spend just to go to a professional ball game of any kind. And they're sitting there, they're watching the game for 2 hours. I'm wondering, how long did they have to work to get enough money to be able to drive, then to park, to buy a $15 hot dog, plus a $12 Coca-Cola, and then it's all over. They got to fight the traffic to get back and somehow think that they had a good time. Pardon me, I'm not preaching on you if that's what you do. But just a second, we're in Alabama right now. People are nuts. Alabama, Auburn, who's going to be the champion? And last year, neither. Oh, no. But we were so happy when our team won. Yeah, but it's over. How are we going to live? They don't think either one of the teams is going to win this year. What will we do? Is God punishing Alabama? I mean, we got... Listen... Friendships are divided between Auburn and Alabama. See, when I lived in Tennessee, we didn't have anything like that. I mean, who's going to argue between Tennessee and Vanderbilt? Come on, give me a break. But in Alabama, it's a different story. We are nuts. We're just nuts. That's all I can say. Or Hollywood, fantasy lives. I guess that goes along with fantasy football. It's the next relationship. I don't understand people keeping up with all the relationships that these people have. They're breaking up on one another, cheating on one another, all kinds of nonsense. But boy, aren't they glamorous? No, they're not. They're just filth dressed up in expensive clothes. And they have no purpose in life but the next relationship. That's it. And unfortunately, they've passed that down to our entire society. I'm sorry, those 15 minutes of fame just aren't worth it. And then some tried in religion. Some think, well, maybe if I just turn over a new leaf, that'll make things better. It's not a new leaf you need to turn over. You need to come to the vine. And the vine is Jesus Christ. In Him is life, and only in Him. You see, we have a problem. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Matter of fact, let's turn to it. Romans chapter 5, not verse 8, but verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Look at this marvelous promise that he gives. In Romans 5, 1, therefore being justified by faith, look at this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say we have peace with God through a big gift that we just gave to the church. No. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Him and in Him alone. You want peace in this life? A lot of turmoil going on. Turmoil is going to continue to go on. But peace is in Him. Bible declares in John 3:18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I've sinned against God. What do I do? Come to Jesus. And in Him there's eternal life. In Him there's forgiveness. In Him there is peace. Yes, this woman had a problem like we have a problem. And she had a passion. She wanted to find the answer to it. Well, and people looking for answers all the time, willing to spend their whole lives away to try to find it when they don't have to spend anything. Notice the woman's plight, though, in verse 42. For you look back at this passage, it says in verse 42 at the end of it, but as he went, the people thronged him. There was a crowd in the way. And I'm glad she didn't let that stop her. But I don't know if you've ever been to one of those places where some celebrity has come in. I've had the privilege of shaking hands with two different presidents. And all I can see about that is that had I not been in the front row to begin with, there's no way I'd ever got. I mean, the last thing you want to do when a president's coming through is start knocking people down and try to get to them. Because there's going to be some big Secret Service guy sitting on you before you're done. Here's Jesus walking. He's thronged about by a big crowd. And here's this lady. She's wanting to get to him, and she does. But you see, there were people in the way. And quite often, there are people in the way of folks getting saved. I've had people say that, I've had ladies say, well, my husband, when my husband comes, then I'll come. No, no, you come. You get saved. And then you can be a testimony to him and help to reach him to get him there. Don't let him stand in the way. Do you realize if there's somebody between you and Jesus, they're closer to Jesus than you are? Right. Don't let anybody get in the way. It's just not worth it. Well, there are just so many hypocrites in the church. Yeah, I know. And there's hypocrites at the football stadium. And there's hypocrites at the bar. And there's hypocrites at the grocery store. And there's, listen, there's hypocrites every place. There always has been. There always will be. Why is it that it's the hypocrites only that are in the church are the religious hypocrites that keep people from coming to Jesus? That'd make a bit of sense. Hypocrites all over the place. Like one guy was told when he said, well, there are hypocrites in the church. I don't want to go. He said, well, we have hypocrites at our church, but at least they come. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. How stupid to leave the only one who could heal you. She doesn't sit there and do a survey of the crowd and make judgments as to which one the hypocrites were. She just wanted to get to Jesus. And she wasn't letting anybody get in the way. Listen, if you heard that there was a doctor that had found the cure for every cancer, he had the cure. He had the medicine. He's the only one that had it. And if you could just get to him, you can have that medicine. Listen, you wouldn't allow 100 people in line, and I hate lines. You wouldn't allow 100 people to keep you from getting that. Matter of fact, if there were 8,000 people in line, you'd get in line because you wanted that. Right. I mean, if you had cancer, and this is the only guy that had a for sure cure of your cancer, and you could, man, you'd go to him, and no one in your way. Now, I'm a guy, I've always hated lines. I hate standing in line. I'd rather cut in line than stand in line. I'd rather people look at me, hey, what are you doing, than stand in line. I hate lines. But I'm going to tell you what, there's no line so big that I wouldn't get in it in a situation like that. Before I got saved, the fellow that asked me to play softball with the church team that got me out to church to begin with, I worked with him. Now, he was brought up in the local Baptist church. That's where he was raised. But I heard him cuss along with all the other announcers at the radio station. He cussed definitely as much as I did. That was before I got saved, of course. But here was a guy who claimed to be saved. He was an usher in that local church. But I heard the things that came out of his mouth. Not only did I hear the things that come out of his mouth, he went to the same movies I went to. He heard the same filth that I heard. I mean, really, I could have let that guy stand between me and Jesus, but I'm going to tell you something. When I found out I was lost, when I found out I was on my way to hell, and that Jesus Christ was the only one that could save me, I wasn't going to let some hypocrite keep me from Jesus Christ. I went to the one who could give me eternal life, and thank God, when I did, he saved me. Amen. Now, by the way, that fella, his name is Dave, that fella, about 4 years later, I can read his testimony on the internet now, he got saved. See, I just thought he was a hypocrite Christian, but he wasn't even a Christian at all. He'd just been brought up in the church. I got news for you. There are a lot of people brought up in churches that are lost. Right. On their way to hell, he was one of them. Thank God he's saved and going to heaven now. She went through the crowd to touch him. And I'd plead with you, friend, if you're without Jesus, don't you let anybody keep you away from Christ. The Bible declares, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You come to Christ today and he will give you eternal life. But that leads me to another question, kind of a side off point here. And that's this. Are you keeping anybody from Jesus? Are you in the way? I mean, after all, what are we here for? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are here to share the gospel with the world. The Bible declares, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Some people are in the way by their lives. That's true. Other people are in the way because they're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, winning the lost. There are multitudes of people around Madison County and Limestone County and Morgan County that need Jesus, and we are the ones responsible for taking the gospel to them. That's our job. Right. Are you in the way? You know, the world needs to see in us that this deal with the gospel is vitally important. As long as church people act like, well, if I go, fine, if I don't, fine. If I tell them, fine, if I don't, fine. Then why should they be excited about it? What are they going to think? If it's not a big deal to the church, how in the world is it going to be a big deal to those who are without Christ? But without coming to know him, friend, they die lost. Here's a woman. She had a problem that was incurable in the earthly way. She wanted to be healed. That was her passion. Her plight was there were people that were in the way. But then notice her possession. Verse 44, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And then in verse 46, and Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. Healed? Yes. But that wasn't all. She received something. She received righteousness, virtue that came out of him. You know, to anyone who touches Jesus, there's a change. And it's a change that he makes. You understand that the changed life is a result, is a product of a person coming to Christ. Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I fear that sometimes people want the sinner to change their life and then get saved. And they call that repentance. And that's not repentance. You can change your life. Sinners change their lives all the time. Still die and go to hell. They come to Jesus. He gives them new life. The Holy Spirit comes to live within them for power for a new life. He is the one that makes the change in them. When I trusted Christ as Savior, I had no idea of ever being even a church member, yet alone being a pastor. When I trusted Christ as Savior, I knew I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. I knew that Jesus was my only hope for heaven. And I just saw myself as a filthy sinner taking Christ as my Savior, and he saved me. He didn't just save me. He changed me. He made me a new creature. Like that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verses 9 and 10. Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Then verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, I was washed. I was sanctified, justified. He's the one who made that change in me when I took Christ as my Savior. What a marvelous thing. She received something from him. Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bible declares in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. She not only did she receive righteousness or virtue, but she received healing. The disease was stopped. She was different. She didn't say, well, I'll wait until I can live a well life before I'll touch Jesus. That would have been dumb. That's just like the person who's got cancer. And they say, well, as soon as I get over this cancer, I'll go to the cancer doctor. Doesn't make any sense. Yet I've had people say, well, I've got some things I need to straighten out in my life, and then I'll come to Jesus. No, you need to come to Jesus now. Right now is when you need him. You see, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's what he told them in Matthew chapter 9. That's what he does. He saves people completely. Notice also that this possession was free. She didn't buy it from him. She'd spent all that money on a cure with all the doctors she had went to. She didn't spend a dime on Jesus because what he gives is a gift. You don't buy it. You don't buy it by the offerings you give. You don't earn it by the things that you do. It is a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Several years ago, I was visiting at Trinity Hospital in Erin, Tennessee. I never forget this. I'd gone into one room to talk to a person, and I saw a lady that looked to be in some distress, a young lady, and so I went across the hall and began to talk to her. I asked her, the nurse before I went in said, it'd be a good idea, Pastor, if you could go in and talk to her. She's distressed. She's really sick. We don't know if she's going to pull through. And so I went in, I made some light talk for a moment, and I said, tell me, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? She said, no, I don't. I said, well, you'd like to know that for sure, wouldn't you? Yeah, I sure would. So I went through the gospel message. I got to the end. I began to give a little illustration. Well, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I said, now think with me for just a moment. Whereas what you deserve is death, for the wage of sin is death, God wants to give you a free gift. You've never done anything to earn it. And he wants to give it to you as a gift. And all you have to do to get it is to take it. It's like if I was to stand here and write out a check for $1 million. I remember her name. Her name was Terry Bailey. And the reason the name stuck out is we had another lady by the same name, Terry Bailey, in the church that I pastored at that time. And I said, let's say I wanted to make out to you a check. And I took out a piece of paper. I wrote down, pay to Terry Bailey, $1 million. I said, now, it wouldn't be any good, but let's pretend that it would be good. And I say, here, Terry, I want to give you this free gift of $1 million. You've never done anything to earn $1 million from me, have you? And she said, no, I haven't. I said, this would be pretty exciting, wouldn't it, to get $1 million? She said, boy, it sure would. And I said, but I could offer it to you all day, but until you take it, you won't be any richer than you are right now. I said, but I got something better than that. God's written out a check as to whosoever to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we could put Terry Bailey in there. It's for the amount of eternal life. And he's offering it to you right now. And I said, but you won't have it until you what? And she reached up and grabbed that piece of paper. She clutched it to her chest and said, take it. Man, I almost started crying right then myself when she said that. I mean, hey, an illustration that it got through. She saw it. She accepted Christ as her Savior. And when I left, she was rejoicing in that hospital where just a little bit before she had been so disturbed and troubled about what was going on. What a great possession. Jesus healed her. Notice then the woman's pronouncement. In verses 45 through 47, Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee and sayest thou, who touched me? Now, I don't have any doubt Jesus knew who it was that touched him. He's Jesus. But Jesus often asked questions to elicit a response from people. She had touched him. She had received what she had received. But Jesus wanted it to be public. Not where he would just tell everybody, but that where she would make herself known. Verse 46, Jesus said, "Somebody had touched me, and I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Now, she's a little concerned. She's, I think, beginning to wonder, is this going to be taken back? Jesus answered, Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Isn't it interesting that she gets healed and she's not like the man in Acts chapter 3 that Peter and John come upon. And when this man was healed, he went running and leaping and praising God. This man doesn't do that. Or this lady doesn't do that. The woman, the demoniac of Gadara. Man, he gets saved and suddenly seen clothed and in his right mind and went spread abroad the matter so much that when Jesus came back into the area, he couldn't find a place where he could be at. There were so many people thronging at him. But this woman gets healed and she shrinks back. "Who touched me?" She comes forward. She lets other people know. Do you realize, friend, that when somebody gets saved, other people need to know you got saved? If you've trusted Christ, you say, "Well, what's the first thing?" We need to be baptized. Do you realize that the biblical public profession of faith is baptism? Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." Now, you go through the book of Acts, you find they believed and then they were baptized. They believed and then they were baptized. Why? Because it is a picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sprinkling doesn't do that. Sprinkling is not baptism. The first thing, matter of fact, when Peter wins Cornelius and his household to the Lord, the Bible declares, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Why did he command them to be baptized? Because that's what Jesus commanded him and the disciples to do. First they get saved, then they're to be baptized. And whereas the Bible does not mention the baptism of everyone that gets saved in the book of Acts, we don't find anybody that got saved who refused to be baptized in the book of Acts. It is that public profession of faith that you've trusted in his death, his burial, and his resurrection for your salvation. You see, you need to let other people know that you have been born again. Now, this woman met Jesus, and suddenly that thing that was the greatest issue to her, the greatest problem to her, it's taken care of. She is now well, and she makes it public to let others know that she has been saved. The Bible declares, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy." She had a problem. We have a problem. She had a passion to get it taken care of. And boy, those who have a passion to get it taken care of, they find someone with the gospel who will give them the answers. They can be saved. But with that problem that she had and the passion, there was her plight in that there were people in the way between her and Jesus. Dear Christian friend, don't you be one of those in the way of folks getting saved. You ought to be aiding people to be born again. You ought to be going after people to get them born again and have a testimony that brings them to Christ. And when she touched him, she received her possession of healing and virtue, and then she made the public pronouncement. Friend, if you're without Christ today, you can come to Jesus today and he'll save you. That's his promise. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." You come to him, and he'll save you today. Christian friend, are you living for him? Are you serving him? Or are you one of those in the way? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Dear God, deal with hearts today. For that one without Christ, may they see that Jesus is their only hope. All that the world has to offer only distracts them from their real need. And I pray they'd come to Jesus Christ and be born again today. Heavenly Father, I pray for Christians. May we allow the Spirit of God to search out our hearts. And Lord, if we're in the way, may we repent and get right with you. God forbid that it would be our testimony, our life, that keeps people from coming to him. Have your way today in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, How many can say this morning simply by raising your hand, well, thank God, preacher, if I died right now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'd go to heaven. I've been born again and I know it. Praise the Lord. Would you slip your hand up as a testimony of the Lord today? Know you're saved. Know you're going to heaven when you die. God bless you. Thank you. Put them down. Friend, if you cannot raise your hand, my heart is burdened for you. You could have eternal life today. I can't imagine why a person would come into a church, hear a gospel message, realize that they're lost and Christ is their only hope, and to walk out still lost, a heartbeat from hell. The Bible declares this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You can have eternal life and know it today. Is there someone that simply by raising your hand you'd be saying to me, "Preacher, I don't know if I died right now I'd go to heaven, but I do want to go to heaven when I die. Please pray for me." Would you slip your hand up right now anywhere in the auditorium? "Preacher, please pray for me." God bless you. Thank you. I see that hand. Somebody else? "Preacher, pray for me. I don't know if I died right now." God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. I'll pray for you. Somebody else? "Preacher, pray for me. I don't have eternity settled, but I'd like to know for sure I was going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me." Somebody else. Somebody else. I wonder, is there a believer that say, "Preacher, I'm afraid I'm in the way. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But I'm not helping to get others there, and I'm afraid I'm in the way. I've got some things I need to get right with God about. Please pray for me." Would you slip your hand up, please, child of God? Would you do that? God bless you. Several hands. God bless your hearts. God bless you. Amen. Maybe there's somebody here. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I've not let others know by following the Lord and believer's baptism, and I realize that's something I need to do. Jesus commanded it. It's right to do. I've trusted Christ. I know it, and I need to follow the Lord in baptism. Please pray for me." Would you slip your hand up? Would you do that, child of God? Anywhere in the... God bless you. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. Somebody else? All right. Now, Lord, you have your way in every life. There are people here today that don't have heaven settled. I pray they'd respond in the invitation and come so that one of our people could take the word of God and show them how to be saved. I pray for Christians that need to get right with you. Lord, please, I pray they'd come. You said if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, there's at least one that's been saved that hasn't followed you in believer's baptism. They ought to do that. I pray that they'd come today, let the man at the front know that, and we could get that taken care of. Have your way in every life. In Jesus' name I ask it.